Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Vlad Harris here, another Panther Rants podcast. Happy Tuesday to y'all. And this may not be a long podcast because really, it's been a slow news type of thing. I mean, as far as, you know, sports goes, for Pitt, I mean, the men's baseball obviously is an ACC tournament. That's coming up. You know, they got swept by Clemson over the weekend, and I guess as one person pointed out, thank God for Tech losing. Otherwise, we wouldn't be, in the ACC tournament, but hey, they're there. It happens. You know, getting there is obviously the hardest part, and they got there. You know, not sure how far they'll go. Probably not far. Which makes you wonder what happens to Jordano after this. Does Heather keep him? Keep him around, let him build, continue to build, hopefully. Or does she look at it and say, "Hey, you know what? I'm looking at it worse. Looking at the state of the program and how all the other teams are in this conference. And just maybe we need to make a change." So, that's one possibility with Heather. You know, it's just unpredictable. Now, obviously the big topic amongst the Pitt Panthers right now, not so much Pitt Panthers, Pitt fans, is the recruiting drought that football is in. Obviously, we're about 3 months into the new recruiting season, and Pitt has no verbal commits yet. Whereas Penn State just landed two this past week. They landed one of the top JUCOs in the country, and of course they landed some kid from Connecticut who I'm sure was probably highly rated. Well, alright, fine. I'm sure people are going to complain about this. Why is Penn State landing kids or not? Well, for one thing, the last 2 years, Penn State's been on the outside looking in of the college football playoffs. They went on a hot streak, back in 2016, and they won the Big Ten title, but they were left out of the playoffs because of the losses to Pitt and Michigan. Now, Michigan was a lot different. It was a lot different team towards the end of the year, so I'm thinking probably Penn State would have probably won that game the second time around. Possibly. Of course, Pitt, they lost a close game to Pitt, and that game actually should have been a blowout. Had we played defense, it was a combination of our defense and the fact that they teed off on our running game towards the end, and we didn't really have much of a passing game at that point established. So we had to beat him with the arm, and of course that didn't work. So we had to intercept him at the end of the game. And I guess this past year, you know, they were on the outside, you know, they outside looking in again. You know, at one point they were considered to be in the playoffs last year, but of course they went on the, as the conference schedule got tougher for them, you know, it just ended. I mean, they lost a, they blew a really big heartbreaking game to Ohio State, which I still don't know how they lost that game. And of course, they dropped one against Michigan State. And the thing about that was, both of those games were road games. So, you're not really going to be taken seriously as a playoff contender if you can't go on the road and beat these kind of teams. I mean, Pitt went on the road and beat Clemson when they were like one of the number one, you know, the number one team in the nation. Also, Pitt beat, you know, number two Miami when at one point it was considered Miami was indestructible. You know that the U was back, and they were just gonna roll through the ACC. Now the U was back, but they came behind that day and got their ass kicked, in course. And it must have obviously killed their confidence, because they went to the ACC title game and got destroyed by Clemson. So the U wasn't exactly quite back yet. But as far as the whole Pitt recruiting thing, all I can tell you guys right now is it's May. Temperatures in Pittsburgh are going to be approaching the 80s pretty soon in a few days. Relax. Enjoy the weather. Get out. Go jog. Go for a walk. Do nice weather stuff. Let the coaches worry about recruiting. Because in the end, you got to pay to watch these guys play. And, you know, obviously Heather is probably sharpening her axe right now. And so she probably keeps that thing sharpened pretty, really, really good. Because she'll no waste time making changes if she needs to. I mean, sure, she gave Pat Narduzzi the extension, but doesn't mean they're stuck with them. I mean, he starts screwing up. Hey. She may do something else. Who knows? So, I mean, this season right here obviously is a big one, because it's pretty much put up or shut up. You know, the defense is going to be deeper. Offense is another story. We finally got a quarterback. He just needs his receivers to step up. And a tight end to step up. And, you know, I mean, we lost Chris Clark, and to be honest, I don't think he was much of a loss to begin with. You know, I watched the Miami game the other day, and I saw him get just out of boredom, and I saw him get stripped on a pass, and so I'm sure he's a nice guy, but I don't see him as that bad of a loss. But still, Pitt needs somebody to step up a tight end, and obviously, wide receiver, someone needs to establish themselves as the man. So, hopefully we get all those, because otherwise our running backs are going to be, Wilson and Paul are going to be pretty well worked. So maybe Sean Watson will think of some wrinkles for us. But, yeah, until all that, enjoy the weather. And plus, not only that, The summer camps are coming up. I'm sure they'll get some guys here and there eventually, because it always happens during when these prospects start camping out. And, you know, moving on to other stuff. I mean, NBA playoffs have been kind of boring for the most part. not much. You know, no series. There hasn't been really any riveting series during this thing. Excuse me. I mean, we obviously had another blowout loss last night with the Celtics in Cleveland, so that series is a 2-2. But, you know, that series has the potential to be a really good series. You know, we got Brad Stevens versus LeBron, and the fact that they, the Celtics got them at going to Game 5 and even is enough. The fact that they went back to Cleveland up 2-0 is an accomplishment. Stevens can obviously coach his ass off. We've seen it before. And I think he had the watching the game last night, I think he had the Cavaliers where he wanted them, but LeBron just had a hell of a game. He was hard to stop. But to go back to Boston, we'll see what happens there. I mean, that series may go 7 games. Who knows? Rockets and Warriors is another animal in itself. You know, living in Houston here, one thing that's annoying as hell to me is when Rockets fans get all pissed off because their team isn't getting any respect or any recognition. Well, that's the thing about that is when you drop a game like you did against Golden State, nobody's going to really take you seriously. I mean, they got buried by 40 points this past game, and it was a bitch slapping for the most part. And pretty much people are saying this is, you know, this series is over. I mean, for me, a 40-point loss for me wasn't a huge deal. The biggest red flag for me was losing game one. Because you had home court, you had all these rabid fans, and then, of course, to top it off, you lose. And that was the game where you had to throw the first punch and keep throwing it and establish yourself. Instead, you went out cold. And the Warriors already had control of the series. Rockets obviously won game two, and it wasn't close. But your biggest test was going to be going to this arena here and trying to win at least one game. And the outlook, you know, like I said before, after game one, it's a long series, but the outlook isn't very positive. Because it's a long series, sure. But if Golden State wins tonight, it's going to be a really short series. Because there's not much to work with after that. You're pretty much every game is going to be an elimination game after that. So you may be down 3-1. You may come back to Houston, maybe win one, down 3-2. But they're just going to close out in 6 games. But this is a test for the Rockets because last year we saw how they went to overtime with the Spurs, got their hearts broken, and then came back to Houston to play, you know, to try to even the series go to 7 games. The Spurs are without Kawhi Leonard, so the stakes are a lot higher for the Spurs. So what happens? The Rockets came back and just laid a big goose egg for the most part. So that's why people don't take Houston, you know, especially the Rockets, that serious at all. Because they pull stuff like that. You know, 20 year before when they finished 41-41, they got the 8th seed. You know, they didn't play bad against the Warriors in that series when they lost 4-1. I think they exposed a lot of the stuff with the Warriors that happened later series where you fell 3-1 to KD and Westbrook, and those two imploded eventually. And then they lost to Cleveland. But then they got Durant, and of course, whatever flaws they have are pretty much gone at that point. And, you know, I don't see this Rockets season being that disappointing if they lose a series. It's just a case where this is as good as it's going to get for them. They're going to make noise during the regular season, go to the playoffs. They're just running into a team that just happens to be on the verge of a dynasty right now. It happens. But as far as the rest of the sports world goes, the Pirates obviously lost some games over the weekend. They're no longer in first place. You know, baseball's a long season. So, Pirates just need to get hot again. And of course, Marco Andre Fleury's in the Stanley Cup, and of course, people were conflicted over that. But you know, the guy was a great player for the Penguins. Obviously, there was one period where he struggled. It was the period after the first Stanley Cup they won. Without him last year, they don't win the cup at all. So people need to stop with that. You know, he was the reason why they won that second cup. I mean, you got to have two good goaltenders. The problem is Matt Murray's a lot younger, and so the logical choice is you go with the younger guy. It sucks, but that's how it goes. But Fleury's prospering over there, and if you're going to root for him, go root for him. And of course, you have to deal with the local media making a big spectacle of it. But you know, we had this with Jamie Dixon at TCU, and he started winning. And I'm sure we'll have more of that as time goes. Same with Sean Miller. You know, any other local sports person that got shunned or whatever. But anyways, guys, I'm gonna stop babbling because I pretty much exhausted whatever anything else I needed to talk about. Oh well, guys, hell to pit. Bye.